Hello, you are listening to the Bethel Atlanta Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.
Thank you so much. Hey, if you cannot understand me, anybody cannot understand me, just the guys from Dallas. This is Jonathan and Kara Sparks. Give us a wave. They came with us. Graham, all the way from the United Kingdom. We got Mel and Mona Ponda from Destin, Florida. I got my wife with me from Pennsylvania. Whoop. And then I got, we got Paul and Mary J from Tennessee. So there's a bunch of others. And we flew in. So we got our wonderful daughter, Emily. This is daughter number two. She flew in from Ithaca, New York. She's graduating at Cornell University this year. Whoop! And then what I did is, it was Valentine's Day a few weeks back, right? And so I'm thinking, my wife was missing her kids. And it's like, what are we going to do? And so I'm thinking, you know what I could do? I got some air points. I didn't fly my team to Redding, California. I thought, well, I can use those air points to do something else. And so I got on the phone with Benjamin. Ben is at Embry-Riddle, Daytona Beach, studying aerospace engineering, how to put his mom and dad into Mars, something like that. And I found out what we could do to get him to come to Atlanta, Georgia, to meet his mom. And then I went upstairs and I said, hey, babe, I got your Valentine's gift. She goes, yeah? I said, it's 6'3", bearded man. She's like, what? I said, check your email. She goes, I didn't see anything. I said, check again. She goes, is it Ben? Now, this is Ben. Stand up, Ben. Minus the beard. You can sit down. So just saying, guys, I nailed it. You get to try and up that next year. Okay, ready? Jesus, we just thank you for your kindness, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy, for your truth. Thank you that your word is like a sword that pierces us, that cuts between what is you and what is not. And so we just say, let your word come this morning and pierce us because we want to fully display your kingdom. And so we pray like it is in Psalm 139. Last two verses, it says this, search me, God, and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the path everlasting. I'm going to say it again. Search me, God, and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the path everlasting. Father, I want you to bless my life. But I know the weaknesses, the frailties, the insecurities, and the fears. So I say, keep me from harm. Let your grace cover me. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. Lord, that we would find ourselves being elevated, lifted up, and promoted by you. Thank you that you love, you delight to take the weak things of this world to shame that which is strong. The foolish things to shame that which is wise. And the ignoble, the people from I don't know where, to shame those that are noble. So that no flesh would glory in your presence. So we just say, we're available. Just say that with me, I'm available. All of you, say that, all of you, and all of me. You realize it's not one without the other. It's both and. Amen. Okay, so you got most of what we're going to do. Who's got a Bible? We messaged every single business person coming to this trip, and I said, bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. This is a business conference. You know the best book in the world for business is the Bible. So bring your Bibles. There's something about the truth that's so important for us to test out. So, has anyone hired anybody to do a job for them before? Anybody? Like, yeah. Okay, how did you decide who you were going to hire? the reviews, right? Okay, did anybody check out the reviews to make sure that they were true? Yeah, we do. We make sure that there's lots of them. And that's what it's like with the word is, don't you just believe what I say, but be like the Bereans who actually searched out the scriptures to find it if what Paul said was true, and they were commended for it. So that's the word of God, especially in our day. My wife passed on a quote to me, and it's this. It says, discernment is not about the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. And I don't know about you, but there's some weird things going on around the world today, correct? It's not new, by the way. There's weird things have been going on in the world for thousands of years. But how do you stay true and holy and right? I've got to have this word in me. And I've got to be in it constantly. Lord, let your word teach me. Teach me your ways. Okay, turn in your Bibles. We're going to start here. So, number one, I'm going to just tell you the 3 points, and then we're going to tell you a bunch of stories, and hopefully it's all going to come together. So, number one is, you've got to say this with me, I am a temple. Let's say it again, I am a temple. And number two, you ready for this one? Cleanse the temple. Say it again. And then number three, be the temple. Be the temple. So number one, I am a temple. Number two, cleanse the temple. Number three, be the temple. So where is this in the Bible? Turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 6, 17 to 20. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set this up. I'm going to tell some stories of what has happened over the last couple of days that are just going to so encourage you. And then we're going to unpack a couple of other things that will limit us in our thinking. And then we'll see how far we get, because we got some time. But I've just told you what it is, so you can go and search this out for yourself. 1 Corinthians 6, I'm going to read from verse 17 because it's just really, really good. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Anybody here as a follower of Jesus, that you've surrendered your life, you're saying, all of my life, all of eternity, you are my king. We sang these beautiful songs. My allegiance is only to him. I am one with him. Anybody like that in the room? If you don't know Jesus, there's an opportunity for you today, right now, to say, I want you as my king, my Lord, my Savior. I take my allegiance to myself and any other kingdom, and I bring that in submission and surrender to your king, to you, Jesus Christ, the only king. And here's the crazy thing. We're the only ones, the followers of Jesus, a king like him that would lay down his throne, come as a human, so that we get to step in through his life into what is impossible in our own ability. There is no king like that. Isn't that awesome? So if you don't know him, please, please, please come and talk to somebody and get hooked up and become a citizen of heaven. So what does this say? But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So when you become a follower of Jesus and invite him into your life, you become one spirit with the Lord. So turn to the person beside you and say, man, you're one spirit with God. Look in their eyes. I'm looking for God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We could mess with that some more. We better not. Stay focused. It says and carries on. So you're one spirit with the Lord. So verse 18, run from sexual sin. No other sin is so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. That's just the Bible. No, this is good. That's just a bonus scripture for you there. It's true. It's real. Stop it. Verse 19, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. Turn to the person beside you. You don't belong to yourself. And say, and you don't belong to me. Because some of you are like, you're mine. No, No. Yes. Yes, so I, like, pastor's like, my delight is the Lord. So I turn to my wife, your first delight is the Lord. Your second delight is me. Okay, I'm second delight. Second delight. So, what is this? I am a temple, for God bought me with a high price, so I must honor him with my body. So my body is a temple, and when I'm joined to the Lord, I'm one spirit with the Lord, so I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Pause on that. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go. Okay, so is that just Sunday? Okay, well, which days is it? It's every day. Every day. Okay, what about when I go to the bathroom? Am I still temple of the Holy Spirit? When I eat, I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, I love the Hebrew culture. They would wrap, they'd have this prayer shawl that has tassels at the end of it. And the tassels represent the name of God, the word of God, the nature of God, the name of God, the worship of God, the name of God, the word of God. The word, the ways, the name, and the nature of God is wrapped up in the tassels. And they take the tassels and they wrap it around their fingers. So as they're walking, everything they're doing, what are they doing? The word of God, the ways of God, the nature of God, the name of God is wrapped around my fingers. So if I stretch my hand out to sin, to do harm, to do wrong, what have I got to do? First, unwrap the name of God, the words of God, the ways of God, the name of God. Are you catching that? Now, that's the old covenant, but now we're indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So everywhere I go, I'm taking God with me. I'm a walking temple. Got it? So say that with me. I'm a temple. I'm a temple. Be a temple of the Holy Spirit. So what happened in the last 3 days? You're thinking, why are we going to switch? It'll make sense, hopefully. Last 3 days, we get to do this beautiful, beautiful thing where in this space here, there were about 160 business leaders from across the country, 26 states, 4 countries in here because they're hungry to experience more of the presence and power of God at work and engage in the well-being of the city they serve. Isn't that amazing? They paid money and took time out of their week to do that. I'm like, wow. On the second evening, we just had a worship ministry and encounter evening because Janine and I just heard the Lord say, wash their feet. So I said, so babe, should we have a washing station? She's like, heck no. This is crazy. She hates people touching her feet. But so Janine came up with this elaborate way of setting up stations in here, a celebration station, a banner over me is love station, an adventure station, a retooling station, and I don't know, 150 little dinky lights. People walked in here, it was empty, worship team, beautiful music playing, and it's just a wonderful presence of God as these business leaders walk in, and candy, there's a party. It was phenomenal. But what you don't know, there was one of our speakers is a multi-million dollar businesswoman. She was on her hands and knees putting lights under the chairs, setting it up for everybody else. Nobody asked her to do that. She just wanted to. That's the kind of people that we've got. And that happened in here. I don't know about you, but that just makes me humbled and amazed. People are so hungry for God. We had this lady, Marilyn Adamson. We interviewed her. She runs a non-profit, so I want you to think of what this would look like. A non-profit ministry, it's a part of Campus Crusade, now called Crew. And she has a website that does evangelism. Okay, so turn to your neighbor and tell them what you think that would look like. A ministry that does evangelism online. Turn, talk. Be honest, what would that look like? Okay, that's long enough. Shout it out. What do you imagine that would look like? What's that? Yeah, That's a redeemed thinking. Most of us are like, yeah, it's probably pretty lame, average, big donate button. That's what it's going to read in a real Bible. So this is like, that's what we kind of imagined. And Marilyn looks like your favorite spinster aunt. Okay, you got that? And so we're looking and we're asking your story. So, okay, so tell me, Marilyn, she was an atheist and she would argue with her friend who was a Christian, and her friend deeply believed what she was saying, but Marilyn was just arguing anyway to defend her faith. And then she went home and she searched it out because she said, every atheist is seeking. Every person is seeking. Perhaps you're that Christian that's having those arguments or the arguments with the atheist. Don't change who you are, because what you're doing has more impact than you realize. What her Christian friend didn't realize is that Marilyn was seeking to find out if God truly was true. And she reads this book, and somewhere in between learning about the distance of the sun to the moon and the physics and the something of the something, she has this revelation that I can never philosophize my way into knowing that God is real. I've got to believe and trust. And because of the distance from the sun to the moon and the stars and these other things that she'd read about, she came to the conclusion that God is real. Anybody else like that? No, not me and Dan. I'm just like, I didn't even understand what she's saying. So now that she's saved and she believes God, she starts to lead her friends to Jesus. She gets into university doing PR and media and leading her friends to Jesus. The professor, who's an atheist, says, well, most of you guys are going to come from here with your media PR and you're going to be selling toothpaste for the rest of your life. Or you'll be selling toilet paper or whichever, the media production selling. That's what they do. Atheist says, but there's one person in here that's been selling something else, and they're probably going to keep selling that thing, probably online. Who's he talking about? Marilyn. An atheist professor prophesies her future. Did you catch that? So she bumbles into Campus Crusade, sets up this website, doesn't know what she's doing, but she just wants to reach people for Jesus. So she starts doing it. She creates hundreds of articles answering all the hard questions about life and God. Puts them online. It's called everystudent.com and everyperson.com. Two websites. Sound cool? Sound kind of dinky? Last year, 50 million people came to that website. And 1 million people hunted through and found the button starting with God.com to get discipled in their journey, having made a decision to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. What? Isn't that cool? Did you hear that? 2,500 people per week are using Google and Facebook marketing to find a place where they can get the answers to the hard questions about life and God. And they snoop through this and eventually find a click through to get discipled. And if Marilyn passed tomorrow, there's 5 years of automatic emails that disciples them. 2,500 people. And I think it's in 14 different languages. Isn't that cool? What's the point? Man, I don't know. It's just really cool, good story. Why? Because she just chose to use this temple fully in the way that God made her to be. She's not you. She is 100% Marilyn. She is totally geeked out, smart ass is what we'd say in New Zealand. She is smart ass. And she uses that to develop this website that leads people to Jesus. I'm connected to a website that answers all the hard questions about life and God. Would you like me to give it to you? Everyperson.com. You can use that. She goes into Walmart. Have you got Walmart here? It's this store where you can get pretty much anything that you don't want. And she comes in and there's this car parked there and it looks really hokey. It's banged up. And it's got a bumper sticker that says, Born Again Pagan. So she's curious. Excuse me, I saw your bumper sticker. I understand pagans are people that, you know, like see the connections between nature and trees and everything. So is that what you mean? He's like, yeah, totally. Now, he looks worse than his car, is what she said. He said, totally, it's the best thing ever. Yeah, born again, I'm a born again pagan. She goes, oh, wow. He goes, well, I found about all of these hard questions about life and God, and I got some answers, and I found that God's the only one that gives the deepest answers to all of our questions about life. And he begins to weep, and he says, I'm seeking, what's that website? What's the point? Every person, everywhere you go, is seeking. You just don't know it. So that's Marilyn. That's the coolest thing ever. 2,500 people per day are signing up for what we take for granted. Because they are seeking and you just don't know it. Then Matt Neff, he runs this dinky little Christian company that puts on plays. It's kind of not that. I'm totally mocking it. Because it's a media production company that's Christian that brings Bible stories to life. What do you and I imagine? When I invited our kids to go and see a show, they're like, really? Well, okay, I guess because we got free tickets, let's go. We get there. It's three stages. It's monster high. It seats 2,000 people. And they put on Bible stories. Last year was David. This year, it's Daniel. They sell out 95% of the time. So how many people? 2,000 people, 10 to 11 shows per day. Sorry, 10 to 11 shows per week. 95% sold out. Are you catching this? To see what? Bible stories on stage. I just want to tell you, there is so much more going on than what you see. You walk down the street, there's people driving past you all the time, and you're thinking, man, is anything happening? Where's God in all of this? And you see weird, weird stuff on TV and in politics and on social media because you're looking at more social media than what God is saying. And it's like, wow, what's going on? I'm here to tell you, 2,500 people per day are finding this website that answers all the hard questions about life and God, and they're getting discipled. 1 million people last year, 50 million people each year going to that website. You can check it out, everyperson.com. And there's thousands of people going to Muslims, atheists, Sikhs, all sorts, showing up in this theater, one, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, another one in Branson, Missouri, to see Bible stories brought to life on a stage. What's the point? People are seeking everywhere. And what are you? I am a temple. I am a temple. I asked Matt, what's his favorite story? He tells the story of a couple that were in a show, the Christmas show they put on every year. At the end of the show, there's this noise. What's going on? What's going on? They come in, and this couple have come down the front. Their daughter's 6 to 8 years old. She was mute from birth, couldn't speak, and in the middle of the show, she got her voice back. So what was that? Was that in a church service, a healing service? Those things are wonderful, but it's way cooler when it just happens in all of life. Why? Because I am a, what are you? And who's inside? I got Christ inside, which makes you what? Dangerous.
those people, those atheists, agnostics, people that you don't even know flying past you. It's like, you have no idea what I got inside you. You get excited and start praying in tongues as you're driving, drive too fast, get pulled over by the police officer. You have no idea what I've got inside of me. No, don't do that. But what's going on? You've got a temple inside of you, and there's so much more than you realize. I'm a temple, and I got to get cleansed, and I got to be the temple. I got to realize everywhere I go, I am a temple. That little girl had come 2 years prior to see a show, loved it, came down, got prayer at the end, nothing happened, but so enjoyed it, they came back 2 years later. And when they saw the Christmas story where Zacharias got his voice back, she saw that and got her voice back. You are a temple. We could carry on with so many stories. I'm not going to do that. I want you now to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 21. What are you? Say it again. I am a... Okay, hopefully this is going to come together. Matthew 21, verse... Actually, it's so just the context. This is when Jesus is coming in. He's getting towards the end of the 3 years, and he's about to get handed over and crucified. And so this is the point where what's just happened is they've said, Hosanna to the Son of David. He's coming on this donkey, fulfilling so much of prophetic words. And then it says this. He comes in verse 12. Jesus entered the, and he began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. Hang on, what do they do in the temple? They worship, they did sacrifices. What did they do? What did they put on the sacrifice? Animals and doves. And it must have been crazy, messy, bloody, terrible. But that's what they did, right? So what are these doing? They're supplying the sacrifices. They're supplying the money. They're supplying the things. Jesus drives them out. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. I've read that in the past. I'm like, yep, that's where you can tell there's no such thing as business in the kingdom of God. We should get rid of business and just all be poor and miserable and have no clothes, no cars, no nothing, and hopefully turn up at a building that someone else pays for. Anybody ever thought that? Don't put your hand up. Just check out heavenandbusiness.com will help you. Workers worship, workers service. When I understand that everything I do brings glory to God. So it's got to be more than what they were doing. It's not about what you do. It's often how you do it that counts. I seek first the kingdom of God. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy. So I'm going to seek the kingdom of God. I'm going to fight anything that's against it. So we're going to burn down the clinics that burn babies and do that stuff. And we're going to, whoa, seek first the kingdom of God. That's true. And his, what's that? His way of doing business. So I'm not just seeking first the kingdom. I'm seeking to know his ways. Has anybody messed it up before? Anybody? Okay, just me and you, girl. Me and you, we messed it up. You know, the goodness is because we don't know what we don't know until we experience something different. That's why we started with Psalm 139. Search me, God, and know me. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the path everlasting. Exodus 33, show me now your ways that I may know you and find favor in your sight. How does it start? If I have found favor in your sight, show me now your ways that I may know you and find favor in your sight. And if I have found favor in your sight, show me now. It's the first loop. What's the point? This is an invitation. It's a constant invitation to upgrade and increase and deeper relationship and this realization, wow, I've just been driving down the road. I had no idea I'm a temple. I thought I was coming to the temple. Isn't the barn a temple? No, this is a barn. And there's $1 million matching fund that's amazing. Your money gets doubled. That's the best giving ever because you get to be a part of it. And this multi-million dollar woman was putting lights under a chair 2 nights ago in this beautiful place. Isn't that amazing? We get to be a part of that. So Jesus kicks them all out. Why? Then he said to them, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer. Any praying people in the room? I love you. That's all of us, by the way. But there's some that's like, I was born to pray, baby. I pray when I wake up. I'm praying when I go to sleep. I'm praying as I'm asleep. You're welcome. There's people like that. They're like, when they say they're going to pray for you, they don't do that. Oh, Jesus, bless them. See you later. They actually pray. Those people. So Jesus says, the scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves. A den of thieves. So you business people, you miserable traitors, you've turned it into a den of thieves. It's like, so I shouldn't do business? What we got to do is we've got to search the scriptures to find out if what he said was true. What's he referring to? Oh, in our Bibles? Do you realize that people didn't have this 500 years ago? People died, like, and gruesome deaths so that you and I could have this. So let's not take it for granted. Let's search it out. It's like, so what's he referring to? He's referring to two scriptures. You can go and look them up later. I'm going to emphasize one. Jeremiah 7:11. So I'm just going to read this. Some of you, as I read this, are going to feel conviction. That's okay, because that's what the scriptures do. And it's not to condemn or shame you. It's because he wants to cleanse his temple. And it's the stuff in us that we might doing the right thing, but doing it the wrong way. Or there actually might be just messed up stuff in us that he's wanting to clean up. So Jeremiah 7:11, what was Jesus referring to? So money changers and the sellers of doves, and they said, well, there's some thought that they were using illegal weights, not measures, not right measures. And they were manipulating, controlling people. It's not just what they were doing, it's how they were doing it that was wrong. He kicks them all out. In Jeremiah 7, I'm going to read this to you. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, and he said, God said, go to the entrance of the Lord's temple. Just remember, what's the temple? Now, this was when there was a physical temple, but that got destroyed, and now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So go to the entrance of the temple and give this message to the people. O Judah, listen to the message from the Lord. Listen to it, all you who worship here. Didn't we have a wonderful time of worship this morning? All you who worship here, listen to the word. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay here in this land. Oh, wow. Oh, that's pretty serious. But don't be fooled by those who promise you safety simply because the Lord's temple is here. Or we could say, because the presence of God is here. Well, didn't we give out millions of dollars in your name? And didn't we donate to the tithes and offerings in your name? And didn't we heal the sick in your name? And didn't we look after the poor and raise the dead in your name? And didn't we prophesy in your name? What does Jesus say? Depart from me, I never knew you. Same thing, different language. So what do? They chant, the Lord's temple is here. The Lord's temple is here. The presence of God is here. The presence of God is here. But I will be merciful only if you stop your evil thoughts and deeds and start treating each other with justice. Only if you... So people think justice movement is new. Oh, no, this is way back. Like Jesus was bringing this a long time ago. Start treating each other with justice. Only if you stop exploiting foreigners, orphans, and widows. Only if you stop murdering. How do we murder? Anybody in here a murderer? Don't answer that question. What did Jesus say? Under the law, it was if you murder someone, you got problems. But under grace, if you say someone, you're a fool or a stupid idiot, you're murdering them with your words. So what's Jesus do? Grace is a higher standard. Then I will let you stay in here. Don't be fooled into thinking that you will never suffer because the temple is here. It's a lie. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery, and burn incense to Baal and all of these other new gods of yours? and then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, we are safe, only to go right back to all those evils again. Don't you yourselves admit that this temple which bears my name has become a den of thieves? Got it? So what's a den of thieves? Bunch of thieves go out, rob, steal, kill, destroy, then come into a place that's safe and say, we're safe here. What's Jesus saying? Don't come in here and do something else out there and think you're safe just because you got the presence of God and God touches you. Clean your life up. Because why? Because the temple is no longer a place, it's you. And everywhere you go is a temple. Got it? So pause, close your eyes for a moment. Holy Spirit, search us, know us, test us. Where there's areas and issues in our lives that need to be adjusted and aligned. Thank you that it's not by our efforts or our ability, it's but by your grace. So we just receive the grace to get clean, to get whole. At the end of this, there's going to be time for prayer for multiple things. But if you know that you need to get face-to-face with God and sort out some cleansing in your temple, then just come and get someone to pray with you. There's a team, Blake's going to lead that at the end of this. Don't leave here without getting on with that. Why? Go back to Matthew 21. Here's why. Because the question that I have is, so number one, you're a temple. Number two, cleanse the temple. It's what Jesus did. Why? Because he says, my temple is a house of prayer for all nations. So my question is, what does a house of prayer look like? Say that with me. What does a house of prayer look like? I'm glad you really asked that because it's right here. He gets rid of hypocrisy and those that are trading and doing evil and not doing right. What immediately happens next? Look, go back and look at it. Matthew 21. Jesus chases them out, but you've turned into a den of thieves. Verse 14. The blind and the lame came. Are you catching that? When we're living two different lives, the ones that we're sent, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord's upon me to heal, to preach, to minister, to redeem, to reform cities. Why is it not happening? Because I need to cleanse my temple so that wherever you see me, I am the same. So I'm whole everywhere I go. What happens immediately when he does that? The blind and the lame came. Physically blind, mentally blind, emotionally blind, every way blind. And what happens to them? Jesus starts a prayer meeting and a healing campaign? No. Straight away. And Jesus just took care of it. He healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious law saw these, what does it say? Wonderful miracles. Wonderful miracles. And heard even the children in the temple shouting, praise God for the Son of David. What's the point? You're a temple. Cleanse the temple. It's like, just get on with it. Take care of it. I'm not a counselor, so I can just say, go sort it out. Get our stuff sorted. And then what happens? A house of prayer for all nations. What does that look like? That looks like Marilyn Adamson saying, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm following the will of God the best that I know how. My atheist professor prophesies my future. I step into it, and then 10 years later, 2,500 people per day are becoming followers of Jesus. What does it look like? It looks like I am the temple. I'm cleansing the temple. I'm becoming the temple. And what does it happen? For Matt Neff, the founder of that company, was a dairy farmer in the middle of nowhere that also liked to take photos. Someone said, would you come and put those slides on in our church? And he's like, no, that sounds ugly. Finally, he got convinced to do it, and gradually, little bit by little bit by little bit, it became this production company with 800 employees and thousands of people and one little girl who got their voice back. How'd that happen? You're a temple. Cleanse the temple. Take care of business. And then as you do that, then everywhere you go, be the temple. What happens? All nations start to come. The
the blind, the lame start to come. And here's the key. You don't know because they don't look blind and they don't look lame until you have a conversation. You say, wow, well, I'm connected to this website that answers all the questions about life in God. It's called everyperson.com. In Redding, California, I was wondering, it's like, how do I engage with my city? How do I engage with my city? And I thought, well, I could, you know, when you come into a new city, how do you engage? So I did a course. It's called Leadership Reading. It's for people that want to be a part of seeking the well-being of the city. It's not a Christian organization. It's a city organization. So you have to apply and pay money to go to it. It's probably a good thing. On that course, there's about 30 different leaders from across the city, all sorts of different ranges. And there's one guy, I think he's really cool. Why? Because he's wearing a uniform and he's got a gun. He's a police officer. He's not like one of your Georgia militia or something. So I just think, I like this guy. I just like him. So we get to the end of the course and I'm thinking, this guy's funny. He's a bit crass. Like, he says things he shouldn't say, does things he doesn't do, but I kind of like him. And what? I am a temple. And this temple is mobile. And everywhere this temple goes, Jesus goes. So I wonder what Jesus wants to do. Let's just see. What if that guy's blind and lame? He just doesn't look like it. He probably is, because I can hear some things coming out of his mouth. He probably is way more lame, but I'm not going to accuse him of that. I'm just going to bring the temple into proximity, and let's just see what happens. And I'm going to get rid of my hypocrisy and my stuff, and I cleanse the temple. Let's see what's going to happen. So how do I do that? Well, I guess I could buy him a coffee. So I say, would you like a coffee? Do you want to come to my place or your place, or should we meet somewhere independent? I'm working at Bethel Church in Redding, California. So I'm thinking he's not going to want to come there, but he does. Police car turns up at Bethel Church in Redding, California. Police officer turns out, is Andrew Mason here? I take him on a tour around the building. He's never been there before. We go all over. He's like, wow. He meets Chuck Perry, the healing room's director. Why are you here? He's interviewing him. Well, Chuck's like, smiley. I got healed. Jesus healed my body, healed my soul. What's going on? He's getting surrounded by more and more temples. I take him to the prayer rooms. Are you guys going to have a prayer room on the property? Jesus, yes. So I take the police chief from this tiny town into the prayer house, and I walk really slowly in because I know things happened in that place. So we go around slowly a couple times. I tell him, yeah, it's interesting. There's all sorts of interesting things that happen here. And he comes out, he goes, wow, can anybody use that? I said, yeah. He said, do you have to be a member? Do you have to have a card to come to Bethel, Atlanta? Is there a card I swipe in, swipe out, pay my dues? I said, no, anybody can come. Like, we've had homeless people. We have to call the police to come and take the homeless people away because this is not a campground. And he goes, wow. 2 weeks later, I get a text. Hey, I've been using your temple. It's not the temple. It's not a temple. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. I start building a relationship. What's going on? My temple is getting closer. I can't change anybody's life, but I know Jesus can. And so we start texting. I'm in staff meeting, and I think of him. So I send him a text. Hey, thinking of you. Hey, the pastor of this church here, he's talking about Romans 13, about the authorities of God, are God's avengers for good. So you, one of God's ministers, one of God's avengers, you're like the avengers, like the real avengers, not Marvel avengers, God's avengers. Romans 13, you go read it. He goes, texts me back, wow, this is pretty cool. I'm going to share this with my staff. Over time, this grows. Now I just don't say I'm thinking of you. I tell them the truth. I'm praying for you. What's going on? This temple, this mobile temple is getting, it's dangerous. Dangerous. It's dangerous. He calls me a year later and says, hey, I'm employing my next staff sergeant. Would you be willing to be on the panel? I'm like, did he text it? I'm
foreigner. I'm like, I got this funny accent from this funny place. I'm in the process of becoming a citizen at the time, but me? Are you sure? Did you mean this me? He goes, yes, you. What just happened? The temple was being invited into the police station for a right reason. We get to help employ the next staff sergeant. Are you catching this? That carries on. I start getting texts from him. I feel closer to God because of you. He goes, I'm running for sheriff. Would you be on my election campaign? I'm like, heck yeah. That'd be cool. Do I get to have a gun? He goes, no. Are you catching this? What are you? I am a temple. Cleanse the temple. Be the temple. It's easier than you think. Okay, so everyone stand up. I could carry on, tell you story after story after story. He got elected sheriff. He is not a Bethel Christian. I don't think he'd ever be a Bethel Church Christian. But he's closer to God. Why? Because the temple came to him. Okay, so put your hand on your heart and just say with me, I am a temple. Blake, you want to come on up? Jesus, say this with me. Jesus, cleanse this temple. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I ask that you'd occupy every area of this temple. Even those dark areas that I kind of think, I do it. I've got it. I'm taking control of it. We just let go control now. We invite you into those areas that you would heal. That you'd, this would not be a den of thieves. This would be a dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come deeper into me. And Lord, help me to be the temple. When I walk out of those doors this morning from this beautiful barn, I would be a walking temple that I would carry you everywhere I go. That I'd be a friend to people all around me. Help me to see the lame and the blind that you are sending my way. That I wouldn't ignore them, but I would heal them. That I'd hear the children singing songs about the wonderful miracles of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. To stay connected with Bethel Atlanta, visit www.bethelatlanta.com.